And of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Our Gospel lesson and sermon text today comes from the 11th chapter of St. Matthew. This is often been referred to as Matthew's pearl of great sorrow, one of the most comforting and beautiful and poetic passages of the Bible. I can't think of a more wonderful gift for our first Sunday beginning to reopen the church. And Matthew 28 prayer, the prayer that preceded our present book of common prayer, we had what we call the comforting word on the confession and absolution. Much like the prayer on top of the Sunday, the confession. After the confession and absolution, the priest would pronounce the comfortable word, saying, "Hear what comfortable words our Lord Jesus Christ says to the old who return to him." And the very first phrase of the comfortable word came from the 11th chapter of St. Matthew, promising me all that you that travail in the heavy laden, and I will respect you. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, Jesus goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I'm gentle and meek. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I will give rest for your soul." These words have given strength and nerve to the arm of Christians for over 2,000 years. Now, to be sure, and you know this very well, that Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, at the beginning of every relationship, made clear the cost of discipleship. And sometimes his making clear seems very severe and even harsh to our modern ears. He almost promised that there would be suffering in following him, not possibility, but inevitability. He said to his disciples, "You have to be willing to pick up your cross and follow me." And every disciple, except for John, who died of old age, every other disciple died a gruesome martyr's death. And Jesus said again and again that we will be rejected, those who follow him as well. Remember the story of the rich young ruler, a handsome, young, talented man came to Jesus, and also with an authentic heart for God, wanting to know what he must do to have eternal life. And Jesus seemed quite severe. He said, "Didn't you say one thing you have? Go and sell everything you have. Give to the poor and come follow me." He gave him the invitation that he only goes to serve other people. But the rich man couldn't do it. He walked away sad. And did Jesus run after him to be the best way to offer? No. Jesus loved him, but loved him enough not to invite him under false pretenses. So Jesus again and again said that there will be suffering, there will be rejection. And that's what the first part of this passage is all about today. Saint John came with camel's hair and wild locusts and not being fancy at all, and taking fire and brimstone, and before he condemned him for his radical appearance. Jesus came dancing away in that way, eating the fancy sinners that they didn't know, as a drunkard and a glutton. Both seem quite different, and they're all aware that John and Jesus are very much alike in size, because they believe and they preach the nearness of the kingdom of God. And Jesus again says, again and again, there will be rejection. There is a cost. So, we forget this part. A lot of people accept the truth. Some people, as the words of St. Paul say, have the words combined with truth of thought, and it came to know the love of God in Christ Jesus, and turned the life upside down, and became believers, and everything changed. Many people accepted John, accepted Jesus, and became followers. And what a glory that is, so the comfortable words from the 11th chapter of Matthew today are aimed at those who have accepted. "Come unto me, thou which travail and are heavy laden. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So what do you mean by this? Beautiful and poetic. Well, we must be careful not to confuse our Lord's words with the way we often use them in our culture. If I said, "You are going to take refreshment and rest," well, that might be where I'm going to Florida, sit on the beach on a number of put my feet up and go to amusement. But Jesus, that was not the request that he's talking about. It is very clear that we're created for sorrow. We're created for intimacy. And he uses the image of jokes to explain his point. He doesn't cover himself and gives a mini joke. What do you know? yoke a yoke is a device that will connect two oxen together. If you carry a burden that a single oxen still cannot do, it was not a cruel thing if the yoke fits. And if the oxen are treated in a humane way, if the yoke didn't fit, or treated in an inhumane way, the yoke would stay and tire and weary the oxen. The time life, the oxen would live and thrive and have an oxen. So Jesus is saying that we are built for something, because human beings are created of honor. We are built always to be built on to take the yoke, to explain to us. Because you don't need the truth to stay in the heart and tell you all the ways that we know too well that we sometimes are yoked. Jealousy, or injustice, or pride, or greed, or fear, or regret. Think of the ways that the things that we've been yoked to so often in life. How miserable we are. Because what we're created to be is just the love of God and Christ Jesus. Because that yoke is lined with love. That yoke is created for the way you're meant to live. And so Jesus is saying, when you yoke to me, even though you might suffer, even though you might just murder, even though you will have much to do in this world, even though there might be some rejection, it will be, you will find rest even in your hard soul. The 12th century abbot of Clairvaux, St. Bernard, in the bell, he explained, oh, blessed burden that makes all burdens light. Oh, blessed yoke that stands the sin of us. That's the promise of Christianity. It is said in the legend that girls, when they first came, had no wings. I do not know that. And when they got wings, they fell, and they resented the wings, that they were heavy and burdensome. But when they touch the way you say, it's a little grip of them to the thought. And the same is true with the call of Christianity, the call of what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. Yes, it's not easy to stand in the face of racism and bigotry and fear, and to imitate Jesus and how he lived and moved, and spend our money and spend our wrong. But when we do it, there is a rest for the soul, there is a refreshment, even in the midst of strong call. So the two points of the sermon for us to take home with this, first and foremost, to ask ourselves, day after day, what are we built to? And that's what Sunday Mass, at least in part, is all about. We come to Sunday Mass and check our yoke. There's a yoke we twist it. We cut them a bit. Or we're built to Jesus. And that's what happens. I don't think we can leave the scripture and the sacrament and the music of a Sunday Mass without being more built to Jesus. And that's why we come to Mother Church. And then, checking our yoke each and every week, to ask them, how do we spend our toil? How do we spend the graces that we're given in church? How do we spend the industry that they have to serve Jesus? And that's a more creative and difficult discernment. I had a former member of a former church I served who was a tax lawyer in his work life. And he made him treasurer of the church and served the best and did amazing things for the church regarding its finances and its administration. But he told me one day, he said, "Not this is not what I want to do. I want to visit and work at home. I want to make a life a bad life for the food pantry. That's what I want." He didn't cut that. And so he resigned his procedure committee and began to work harder than he ever worked before and doing what the Senate called to do. For the more he worked, the more expression he had, the more energy he had, the more delight he had. So that's the question. What that note to Jesus, what is God calling me to do, you to do, what years we have on this earth to love and glorify him? And when we do that, when we find our way, oh, blessed burden that makes all burdens well. Oh, blessed yoke that lifts the bearer up. Amen.